still working on, when shall the righteous shine forth like the sun? And both sons, you know, one's intellectual, one's physical. I mean, maybe you don't think you shine out, that your appearance and that doesn't shine out. But to me, it does. So, whether you believe me or not, you shine out. Your personality has a glow to it. And when there's a dullness in it, it bothers me. Not to the point on a negative point, but as a dad, I never like to see my kids unhappy. But in order for them to be happy, they have to learn to recognize what? True love. True love doesn't think of itself. True love shines forth and brings a product to you that isn't selfish or self-centered. And so, and it hinges on what Al was saying, the truth. So you see what happens? As you learn the truth, and sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's hard, you don't see it. Sometimes you see something out here that everybody says is fun, that once you do it, you find out it only lasts for a few minutes, it ain't so much fun, and the results of it, the end results of it are horrible. Why would you do it? Because everybody says, because everybody else is doing it. When I was growing up in the 60s, 50s and 60s, 90% of the kids in school smoked. Maybe 98% of the kids were smoking. Wasn't very many that didn't, was there any? I will say 90. Give them a benefit of the doubt. Why'd they do that? Oh, you should go to the restaurant, you know, pop a Coke and light up a cigarette. Now, you know, and this may be appalling to you, and I don't like smoking now, and I don't like the smell of it. But the truth of the matter is, it never going to send me to hell. Never stop me from believing and loving Jesus. I know you don't have to believe me, but it's the truth anyway. Just to give you some ideas here, they go far beyond us. But as the truth become more relevant to me, in other words, relating to me, or other words, and I become more relevant or relating to it, I begin to see that these things, that these truths, that these parts of God's life, now that word that have become expression, touching, words of encouragement, loving, words that have answers to problems, and so on and so forth, that they were much more rewarding. And so a change began to take place within me, and that's what it'll do with you. Because it's not my truth. It's his truth that I'm learning how, and yes, you'll say it's mine because I own it now. Because he has given me all things, now I'm owning it. How do I own it? I can do it. Can only not instruct it, I can do it, and I don't need your idea, and I don't need your, what do you call it? Your, consent to do it. You need his. We're not here on this earth to govern one another as much as we're here to learn how to love one another. Doesn't my wife look beautiful? Now, maybe she doesn't, but she does to me. And I think you do anyway, even though we may be getting a little bit older. I'm wanting to be around her more and more. I value her presence. Things happen like this. you'll do the same with truth. And you'll find out that definition of love is now being defined other than passion of ungodly fleshly desires. But that it's far greater and more powerful, where now there is no other reason to do it, to love people, than for no other purpose than living a truth, knowing a truth, and now demonstrating the truth. That becomes fruitful. Praise the Lord. And so, and I said all that because that's the shining forth that you have. You have gifts in you that if you become responsible for, that you actually have a handle on. You can actually do them very well. Can I hear an amen? And you may do them different. You may even have a different look. Like, you don't know Mark Fraser, but he's one of my boys, as much as my girls are. He had these pictures on the wall. He had one he did out of black canvas. I have no idea how he could do that. It looked like you took a picture with your camera on a scenic thing that God created. And somehow, he put it on a black canvas. Just black canvas. He had quite a few pictures on the wall. In detail. Fine detail. You do things in the same manner. Different things. And in the process, I enjoy them as much as I enjoy seeing them in the natural. And it always takes this mind of mine and say, because it's out of my reach. Maybe out of yours too. But not out of his. So what happens when he gives it to you? You see, there's many things that we think is out of reach that God has given us. And if you'll ask him, he'll give it to you. How many think that, well, you know, you just like to retire and do nothing? Who wants to retire and do nothing? Okay, I have another way. Who wants to retire and do what you want to do? Okay, let me tell you how long that'll last. Here's experience talking. How long that's going to last? I doubt if it'll last a year for you. Because I'll tell you what, everything you do will cost you. It'll demand from you one way or another. And then what happens when what you had in your physical, you don't have anymore? See, I'm being honest with you because I love you so much. It's time for you to live for God and know and come into your being in the Lord just where you are, just like you are, in all the busyness that might be around you, that you find a way to take and fully release what you have for God so you can get a full measure of what he wants so that you can have it all the time. And I guarantee you, when you get older, because I'm going to leave this with you, when you find out that it's beyond you, he will come and strengthen you beyond where you were. Because he's not in the business of not increasing, but of always increasing. And there's more. I'm living more life than I ever lived before. I've been out of this country. I've been halfway across the world. If I could go without flying in a plane for 12 hours, 15 hours, 18 hours, you have no idea what that's like unless you've been on one for that long. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you watch movies or whatever. Your feet will start to swell. You can't get up. You're in a different atmosphere. You're in a very controlled atmosphere. You're out of your atmosphere. Then shall the righteous shine forth like the sun. And so all of your wonderful giftings that God has given, that I see that as the sun. Like you get up in the morning, when I look at you, I want you, I don't want you sunset. I love the sunset, but I don't want to look at you in the morning on the sunset. I want to see you happy. Even though we are under press, even though we are under things, I just want to see that you've got a hold of God to the point where no matter what it is, you've got the answer. Even though you don't have it in your hands yet, because you trust Him, you have the answer. And so let's go to this and let's look at it. Last week, two weeks ago, was My Redeemer Liveth in Job. And remember how Job so demonstrated his Redeemer. And then last week we were on Ezekiel. And remember how Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones. And how in the matter of, it's hard. This is not a fairy tale. It's not animation. It's not what you can imagine and do in electronics. This was real life, flesh and blood experiences. You really need to know that you are living in a world fashioned by man to control everything you think, how you act, what you do, how you respond. It's all being manipulated. Unless you can see yourself in Christ and let the word of truth become a steady structure in you. That means where you do that instead of. And God is bringing you into a realm of the Spirit through and by His Word. And then how you know it's His voice is because you know His Word. And once you've learned the Word of God, you can now, and that's why you need to read it daily, whether you understand it or not. It's not important. When you first start to learn anything, do you understand it? No. So as you read, as you take your, and discipline yourself, did you learn how to play that just by no practice? Yeah. Why? Because you got better. Because what he was feeling, he began to bring it out where other people could hear it, could experience it, could enter in. Is what I'm talking about. I don't want to point anything out, but just want to show you. And this is all God wants. This is why He's given us His Spirit. He wants to unlock Himself in us. In the way that He's chosen to do it is through the Spirit. And aren't you glad? Your flesh is going to get tickled. You're going to enjoy things in the flesh too. But I'm telling you, He's greater than your flesh. He's greater than what's corruptible inside of you. He's greater than our atmosphere. He's greater than the world around us. He's greater than the elements that hold us together. He's more powerful than those things. Hey, Spirit and life. And so this Spirit and this life that's encompassing us is now becoming our focus. And by being so, it takes us out of ourself Because now we know that we have something that somebody else needs. And He has chosen us. You are the vehicle of choice by God on the earth. Read the Bible and see. Angels, agalos, messengers, preachers were sent from heaven. But men and women and boys and girls were the demonstration of the power of God in the earth. Through love, through neighboring, through all these things. Glory to God. I'm going, oh, help me, Jesus. Okay, I got a few minutes. Let's go to John, the 11th chapter. And this one's good. You're never going to die. This is what this is. Hallelujah. John 11. Now go to 1. I've got to show you some things here. Go to verse 1. We're going to just read down a little bit. And so now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, and the town of Mary and her sister Martha was in Bethany. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So now we know what Mary we're talking about, don't we? Who is it? Who is it? Is it Mary, the mother of Jesus? No. It's Mary. And was she delivered from anything? Yeah. She was actually, you can believe it or not, she's a lady of the world. She was a pretty racy lady. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So he's talking about Lazarus here. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, what are you talking about? Let's just be real about this. What in the world are you talking about? He's already in the grave. And you're telling me it's not unto death? We're going to see something very amazing here. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved both Martha and Mary and Lazarus a lot. We're going to see how much. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he was about 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he could have got there a couple days earlier. Then after that, said he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Now listen to what he's going to be going under. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and go thou thither again? Hey, come on, Lord. Now we've heard through the grapevine by good sources that you go there, they're going to stone you. Now this is the disciples of Jesus. How many miracles have they already seen up to this point? Did they really believe you were the Son of God? I think they believed, but I don't think that they believed to the point of full reception. Do you? That's what we do. We believe, and then there's some areas that you see, and there's many, many areas that as He unveils the hidden thing that's causing us not to believe, brings the word to it, judges it. We receive the word, discard the other. Let me tell you what you've just done. You've just walked from one place to another place in Christ. And no one can take that away from you unless you let them. Unless you aren't willing to walk in what you believe. So listen to this. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not because he seeth the light of this world." Now, what's that got to do with the answer? "But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him." What do you think he was talking about here? What was the subject matter? Just got to stop there for a minute. What was the subject matter here? Yeah. It didn't have anything to do with day and night here. It had to do with, this is what the world says, but I'm not in the darkness of the world. I'm not going on the persuasion of men and their attitudes and their threats. I'm walking with a greater authority. What does light do? Spells the darkness. Now listen. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of his sleep." And you do the same thing. "Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly," okay, he's dead. Come on, you guys. He's talking to his disciples. And now we're talking about the most astute student of Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, God in a whole, the students of him. You have to understand at that time, he still hadn't taken his place as an indwelling property in their heart. That wouldn't come until after he earned the right as a man. I'm telling you, I get in trouble because, you see, lots of people got crazy ideas. But he was a man, flesh and blood, and he died as a man. Blood run out of it. Flesh and blood run out of his being. It was the required sacrifice. There was no getting around it. No way, no how. Jesus. My God. I don't know how to say that. But it's the truth. Look at what he did here. "Then said Jesus unto them plainly," okay, you guys, he's dead. Croaked. In the ground. His body, it's done. Okay, come on. "And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, for the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Listen to those words. I know they're not something that's going to blow your mind with trying to understand the syllables, but the truth is how simple yet how expanding they are. How yet coming, condescending to a lower man's level, yet bringing him up. Because he was actually saying, whether I was there or not, he was going to die. That's what he was saying. Glory to God. Isn't this wonderful? Beloved, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're not in fear of death even. We're not even afraid of it. We're not in fear of death anymore because he's overcome death for us all. Glory to God. We can't live under the shadow of death. We must live under the light of life because there's many things that would kill us if it could. But it can't. Because it doesn't have that authority. God does. And the thing is, he cannot only bring life. The only thing that brings death is what? Sin. To what? What's it bring death to? To the spirit? Does it bring it to the spirit? Does it bring it to the soul? Mind, will, and emotion? Think it does? No. Because your soul is designed to live and not die. He did not create your soul to die. It's not your soul that dies. It's your body. That, and only that, that has a corruptible bloodline. I'm getting this. Jesus. So, his coming relates very strongly to our body gaining the same thing as our spirit and soul has, eternal life. Because you see, well, I won't be able to get all that I have prepared because it's tremendous. Hallelujah. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They haven't figured it out yet, so they figured, well, it must be this is the time for all of us to die. Isn't that what he's saying? Okay, now come on, let's keep going. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days. Thank God, aren't you glad? 3 days, it might be revived somehow. Not four. Four, you were dead. In fact, Martha said to him, Lord, because, well, let's go on and see. Let's see. Let's just go on and take a look. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. They're still mourning. But you know, they're not really mourning because they did believe in everlasting life. They did believe in a life after death in the body. And when Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat back in her and still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Many, many times, have you ever been to something and you said that about yourself? Man, I wish I would have got here. And you try and put it on yourself, try and put the responsibility. I knew to come and I didn't come. I mean, I've done that. Ever done that? Say, I wish I could have been there. Well, let's see what happens here. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Listen to the next one. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now listen to her. So now she's talking for God. You ever have anybody talk for you? Anything annoys me anymore is somebody finishing my sentence. I mean, it annoys me to no end. Because you don't have a right to do that to somebody else's sentence. Rude. It's immature. And you should never do it. That's all of us. Because we're all guilty. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. He didn't even get it out. She comes shooting back. She's a smart one, boy. She knows. She knows the Word of God. She knows what it's saying. She's going to answer it. I'm going to tell you something. It's very, very important that you know that this is an ethical situation when you step in somebody else's conversation. is not a good thing. Because you never learn past your own knowledge. You never find out the answer. You never really know the rest of the story. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now Jesus is coming back, and now he's changing a definition. He's bringing out now a whole new understanding on the word for resurrection. And he's actually saying, I am. That's a good word to look at, because you'll find out that that goes all the way back to Genesis 1. And it's a good study to just take the I ams and look at how they are presented in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. And you'll see he takes his place as the beginning and the end every time. And he wants to be the beginning and the end of everything we do and say. You know why? Because he wants you to be eternal. He loves you so much. Your carnal, stinking flesh dies. But your immortal, incorruptible flesh lives. He don't ever want to not be with you. Personally. Come on. Jesus. I don't ever want to not know Jim Hall. I'm not talking about 50 years or 100 years. But in the thousands of years. I can still say, hello, son. Come on. That's what God's saying to you. It's not lording like we have thought it was Lord. It's not under the carnal fears and inferiorities of humanity in the corruptible state. Hallelujah. But it is of the praises and the glory. Do you know that he's going to send us out as though he was being sent out himself in all of his creation? Do you realize that he wants to just come sometimes and talk with you and fellowship with you personally just sometimes? Are you learning how, glory to God, by his Spirit to come alongside of him? Hallelujah. And let him strengthen you. But if he does, do you believe that it's just you and Jesus? Because if you do, you haven't learned how to trust him enough to touch one that's unlovely. To love one not even worthy in your eyes. But when you can believe that he loves them in just the measure that he loves you, you want them to know. You want them to be a good friend. You go beyond your comfort zones and religious barriers that have kept people away from people, kept churches away from churches, kept governments away from governments, ethnic groups away from ethnic groups. My God, hallelujah. Glory to God, because this is what he was saying. Mary, I got to tell you something. There's something that goes way beyond what you've ever known or ever been taught before. He said, you're looking at, hallelujah, you're speaking to, glory to God, the resurrection and the life. And death has no boundaries. Darkness has no boundaries. My God, can you hear the word of the Lord? Can you believe it? Hallelujah. In your situations that you can become a light bearer. Hallelujah. That opens up a ray of light that changes lives, that changes circumstances, that changes situations. Glory to God. You may think this country is going to hell, but I got news for you. It's just going to, the darkness is just being revealed. And a lot of goodness has been full of darkness. And so all he's going to do is reveal the darkness so that it might become what? Full of. Full of. Full of light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's keep going on just a little bit. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Just a few more, honey, and I'll quit. Oh. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe it? And I think I'm going to go on with this next week, but I got to tell you, because there's a lot that you need to understand concerning this that maybe I understand a little bit. And one of the things is, everything that needs to die in me needs to die, and I need to let it go. If I've learned anything, I don't talk about what I used to do anymore. You know, it's kind of cute if you just bear me this little offshoot. We were at the 50th in one of Casey's buddies, because he used to be a real ripper. And they liked to fight. And so, and the buddy, you know, the buddies, he hadn't got a cane, but he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. But he wants to start a fight like they used to when they got a big group around. He said, you hit this guy, and he said, and I'll take and push that guy, and then I'm out of here. And so Casey must have been a pretty good fighter. And you know what Casey said to him? Shut up. I can't even whip my wife. You know, just see? Hallelujah. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he's never going to die. Beloved, if everything that I'm preaching depends on whether I stand here as a 20-year-old man or not, you're looking at flesh and blood. But if what I'm telling you, as I grow older and gracefully die to the things that are not useful to me anymore, and pick up that life of Christ and begin to actually interject my body with, instead of having to do it on my own, let His Word involve and so get into you that you believe it to the point where you become a fruit bearer of it. Glory to God. And it helps you now, wherever you are, at whatever age you're at. It will help me also. Hallelujah. And we can know this for sure. And I will prove to you through the Scriptures that you have been called never to die. But he said, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom. That's the balance. He didn't say flesh only. He said flesh and blood, and what he's talking about there is not your flesh being an incorruptible part. See, as you take on the truth, as you take on these things, as you live in the flesh in an incorruptible state, it no longer is corruptible. And that part of you cannot die. Let's go on. Are you getting it? Because I'm trying to be simple, yet pretty profound. And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. Do you know why? Because her heart was for the one who loved her enough to bring her salvation. She no longer lived in that darkness, nor would she ever. She determined that. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. I want you to just... Now, Jesus was not yet come unto the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. Where was that? It was at Bethany, but keep going. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and he saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Then Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. What did he do? You probably never even noticed that before. Remember what Elle was saying? He groaned in his spirit. I'll tell you what. I heard something there in my heart. That in the flesh, he had to let he had to let it happen. It wasn't his desire or his will that it happened, but he let it happen so that all of us might know this, that there's a greater than life in the body with blood that's corruptible running through it, that there's a greater love and there's a greater expression and there's a greater reward than just to live out your days, but that he has an eternal purpose for you in which you will not die because he has died for us already. He knew he was going to go and die for every man. And the reason for that is, you see, in no greater love has any man than he laid down his life for his friend. And with the greatest expression of that, and the most wonderful part of that is, I'm going to be able to go up and hug him. I don't care what you think or say, or with his body, as I continue to give my body. I'm be able to, because I'm a touching person. I'll tell you one thing. Speaking's one thing. It's an arm length away. But you get that mouth with that hand, and you just minister what your mouth is saying. Because now it involves your responsibility. And as you do, it helps. It strengthens. It encourages. It brings forth life that can't die. Trust that goes beyond every kind of circumstance that might make us believe that that isn't so. So he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we're going to finish that next week, because I went over already a little bit. Hallelujah. And you can find out what happens next week. Do we have anyone to pray for? And right now I'm really into this, so you're going to have to give me a little time so I can preach to you. Hallelujah. Because God's opening up a whole spectrum of understanding, so that in a way in which I think that everybody that listens to this over the air